This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Several of us at Fresh Air are longtime Seinfeld fans, so over the past few years, we've talked about the series with its co-creator, Larry David, and one of its stars, Jason Alexander. We're going to replay those interviews today, along with an interview recorded with Jerry Seinfeld before his series began. But we begin today's show with an interview I recorded this week with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who plays Elaine. Before we meet her, let's hear her in action. Here's a scene from the classic Chinese restaurant episode, Elaine, Jerry, and George are waiting for a table at a Chinese restaurant. They're hungry, and they're trying to make a movie. Everyone seems to be getting seated except them.
No, it's not fair that people are seated first come, first served. It should be based on who's hungriest. I feel like just walking over there and taking some food off of somebody's plate.
I'll tell you what. There's $50 in it for you if you do it.
What do you mean?
You walk over to that table, you pick up an egg roll, you don't say anything. You eat it, say thank you very much, wipe your mouth, walk away. I give you $50.
What are they going to do?
They won't do anything. In fact, you'll be giving them a story to tell for the rest of their lives.
$50? You'll give me $50.
$50. That table over there, the three couples.
Okay, I don't want to go over there and do it and then come back here and find out there was some little loophole like I didn't put mustard on it.
No tricks.
Should I do it, George?
For $50? I'll put my face in this soup and blow.
I asked Julia Louis-Dreyfus how she got the part of Elaine.
Larry David, who is one of the co-creators of the show and was the executive producer for years, he and I worked together on Saturday Night Live back in the early 80s, and we sort of overlapped a year at SNL, and we were buddies there because we were both so miserable. It was a difficult place to work, and we both kind of were miserable in together. And then years later, I was living in Los Angeles, and these two scripts were sent to me, two out of the first four shows that they made. You know, the first order for Seinfeld after the pilot was for four shows, which was a real stamp of approval from the network. And anyway, these two scripts came to me, and I happened to be available, and I read them and flipped out. I thought this writing was so good. And to be honest with you, I had never heard of Jerry Seinfeld, but I'm not in the... I didn't know a lot about the stand-up world. You know, I mean, he was a fairly well-known stand-up. At any rate, so they said, oh, come over and meet Jerry. So I came over, and I met Jerry, and I sort of recognized his face. Oh, yeah, I've seen that guy somewhere, and sort of hung out and talked to Larry for a long time. And then, to be honest, we immediately got along. I liked Jerry from the start, and then that was it. And then they wanted me to do it. And we had a sort of a tough negotiation, I remember, over a weekend. This was on a Friday, and we need to start work on this show on the following Monday. So in other words, they had to close a deal over the weekend. And it almost didn't happen, but fortunately it did. And
what was the sticking point?
Money.
Right. Gee, what a shock.
Yeah, isn't that shocking?
What a shock that it should be money. So what excited you about the scripts when you read them?
Well, I liked the kind of minutiae of the scripts. I liked the fact that there wasn't a setup joke. I mean, I think up until then there was a pattern of writing in sitcom that was just that. It really was a pattern, a rhythm. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which is the punchline. You know, I mean, really that simple. And what didn't read like that at all. In fact, the jokes weren't necessarily obvious on the page. The jokes maybe were more in the playing of the unusual material. That's what appealed to me about it. It was the less is more, too, I liked.
Did you relate to the very New York neurotic Jewish middle-class sensibility of the series?
Completely. Yeah. And I'm not Jewish either. but I feel like I am, maybe by osmosis.
How about
actually,
neurotic?
Very neurotic. That I own completely. But yeah, I completely related to it. I grew up in New York until I was about 7, and then I spent a lot of time in New York because my father lived there and continues to live there. So I spent a lot of my youth going back and forth between New York and Washington, D.C., and I feel like a New Yorker in a lot of ways.
But your parents separated when you were very young.
Yeah.
Elaine's have had a lot of boyfriends over the years. Do you have a favorite of her boyfriends?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, you know, we've had so many great actors come through the show. My God. I mean, so many good guest stars. David Putty, of course, comes to mind, Patrick Warburton, because we work together a lot. And, you know, he plays such a stupid guy. It was always fun to work with him. He did that sort of stare ahead, that kind of empty stare that was it was hard not to lose it whenever he did that. But I've really liked working with everybody on the show. I mean, we've had so many strong guest stars. Even Bob Balaban, who played the head of NBC a couple years back. And I just remember that we did this one scene. In fact, I think it was the final episode. Yeah, when he went to go and work for Greenpeace to try and sort of win my heart. And he's got these circles around under his eyes and from lack of sleep. And we're sitting there in some restaurant, and he's asking me, why don't you like me or something? And I look at him and I go, what was his name? Oh, Russell Dalrymple was the name of the character he played. And I said something like, Russell, you're the president of NBC. Get it together or something like that. And he had this look on his face. That was so priceless. It was priceless. It was so destitute. Anyway, I've liked everyone I've worked with.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is my guest. Although your character, Elaine, on Seinfeld has gone through so many different boyfriends, you've been married for years to Brett Hall.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you met in college. You've been together a long time. You have two children together. Do you relate to the life of a single woman who's always having, you know, finding another boyfriend and then, you know, dumping him or getting dumped?
Well, I mean, I relate to it only in sort of a fantasy kind of way, because even my friends who are single certainly don't behave like Elaine. I mean, Elaine this is not good behavior, really. And so I can relate to it only in a made-up kind of way, if that makes any sense.
Now, you've been pregnant while shooting the program.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of episodes where you had to cover that up because Elaine was not pregnant.
Right.
So what are some of the ways you covered that up during the shows, and did that affect the kind of storylines that Elaine could have?
Yeah, it did affect the kind of storylines. I think there were a couple of romantic sort of bed scenes I remember at one point that they had been thinking about for me, but I was enormous. It wouldn't have been good for anybody. But we covered it up. The first time around, the first time I was pregnant, which is about 6 years ago, actually, it was 6 years ago, we covered it up with books and pillows and standing behind counters and stuff. And to be honest with you, the second time I was pregnant, last year, really, we were a little more cavalier about it. You know, we sort of just figured that people would just sort of hopefully sort of notice it and then sort of move on off of it. So, I mean, there are definitely some shots of and Andy Ackerman, our director, also made a very concerted effort to shoot me tight. But there were some times when he didn't, and, you know, I had a big fat tummy there, and that was that. You know, I didn't pay much attention to it. There was talk. Jerry had asked me how I would feel about writing it in, that Elaine just got really fat. But I didn't want to do that. That was too hard for me emotionally to take, as your body is kind of ballooning out, you know. I didn't want to do that.
Right. Have people criticize your body while you're really self-conscious.
Well, really chowing down. I don't think that wouldn't have been good for my own personal self-esteem.
How do you think the character of Elaine has changed since the beginning of the series?
Oh, I think Elaine has become more mentally unstable, to, and I don't say that as a joke. I mean, and of course, more broad. The show has become more broad as it evolved. And I think Elaine was much more the voice of reasoning and of reason, and I think that she's much less reasonable now.
Why do you think the show became more broad as time went on?
I don't know. It just sort of went there, you know? It just... Maybe... You know, it's quite a task to write between 22 and 24 episodes a year. And I think that maybe it's easier to write bigger. But that may not be true. I'm sort of thinking out loud now. I think that also Jerry's sensibility is a little more broad than Larry's sensibility. And, you know, Larry didn't work on the show the last 2 years. But I'm not entirely sure. I have to think about that a little more.
Now, I'm wondering what parts of Elaine were able to, or what gestures or anything, or were you able to take from your own life? Or from your own character? Do you feel like you gave her anything of yourself?
Oh, yeah. Well, I gave her all of myself, you know, just tweaked it a little, turned up the volume a little. I mean, Get Out is something that I do and say. Now, I don't push people across the room, but if somebody tells me something amazing, I might give them a little shove, but not a shove that might throw them out a window. That's very much me, I think. In a sense, anyway.
My guest is Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Here she is in the episode which featured baseball star Keith Hernandez as himself. They're in a bar.
You know, I hate to brag, but I did win 11 straight gold gloves. I wouldn't have brought it up, but since you mentioned it.
I didn't mention it.
Well, I won them anyway.
Well, so what? I mean... You played first base. I mean, they always put the worst player at first base. That's where they put me, and I stunk.
Elaine, You don't know the first thing about first base.
Oh, well, I know something about getting to first base. And I know you'll never be there.
The way I figure it, I've already been there. And I plan on rounding second tonight at around 11 o'clock.
I'd watch the third base coach if I were you, because I don't think he's waving you in. No, I hate to say this, but I really think that we're hitting it off. Get it? Get it?
Clever.
What are you doing?
What's that?
You smoke?
Yeah.
I didn't know you smoked.
Is that a problem?
We'll talk more with Julia Louis-Dreyfus after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Dick was fired.
You mean to tell me I put that drink 6 inches over to the right and none of this would have happened?
You knew he was an alcoholic. Why'd you put the drink down at all?
What are you saying?
Not saying anything.
You're saying something.
What could I be saying?
Well, you're not saying nothing. You must be saying something.
If I was saying something, I would have said it.
Why don't you say it?
I said it.
What'd you say?
Nothing. It's exhausting being with you.
Now, there are several expressions from Seinfeld that have really caught on, like yada yada, and these pretzels are making me thirsty. Not that there's anything wrong with that. When you were shooting those episodes, did you have any sense that these expressions were going to become part of the American vocabulary?
Yes. As the show became more popular, there are certain episodes where we thought, oh, yeah, this is going to take off. And then there are a few times we thought something would take off and it didn't.
What?
Well, there was the show where, I forgot how it evolved, but if somebody sneezed, we'd say, you're so good looking, instead of God bless you. Or Gesundheit, and we thought that would take off. No one seemed to want to bother with it. Maybe it's too many words. So good looking. And then, of course, yada yada took off, which, frankly, I'm totally sick of. I mean, That's really an irritating phrase as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, there are things that are. I mean, it is incredible. It's incredible how this show has gone, has sort of come in, infused the culture. It's weird. It is weird.
You know, a lot of us have seen the photographs of what the coffee shop looks like, that the coffee shop that you and the characters eat in every day is based on. What was it like to be in that coffee shop set?
You know, you've got those, you've got the table sort of going back, you've got the counter, and then those booths out in front. And beyond those booths is, it's a, where the cameras would be. I mean, right beyond those booths. And, of course, if you look up, there are lights and sound on the catwalk with the boom mics. And the those seats were a little bit nasty and a little bit dirty, as I imagine a lot of coffee shops in New York, the seats actually are. And in fact, there was one time after we'd been gone over a summer hiatus and we came back and we were rehearsing a scene in that coffee shop, and it was me, and I took the creamer that was on the table and I opened it up. Oh my God, and there were maggots inside.
Oh God.
Just saying it, I think I'm gonna throw up, but it's true. Nobody had cleaned it out. It was so revolting. But we always loved now anytime the joke, of course, then ever since was picking up the creamer and going, and putting it in somebody's face. But it was always always to a certain extent felt like a freebie doing coffee shop scenes, because you could just come in and sit down and say the lines. And of course, when you were in Jerry's apartment, the challenge was finding some business to do in that ridiculous apartment of his. And that was quite a challenge, you know, 8-9 years later, to come up with something to do. And, you know, I'm sure you've noticed that more often than not, it was food related. But the coffee shop was nice because you didn't have to really bother with that. You could just sit down.
Have you ever had an apartment that you would just drop in on all the time? Did anybody ever drop in on you all the time, as everybody drops in on Jerry in the series?
No, I mean, I think the only thing that really comes quite close to that is being in college and living in a dorm my freshman year. You know, everybody's room was everybody's room, and we would sort of go to different rooms all night long till 3 a.m. That's sort of what that's what I did anyway when I was 18. I think there's a similarity there, which gives you an idea of the maturity level of these characters.
You know, Seinfeld was such an unsentimental program. I'm wondering if you're all getting sentimental about the end of the show, even though you think it's time for the show to end. That doesn't stop you from feeling sad about it.
Let me tell you something. We were as sentimental as it gets when we shot that finale, and we're all going to be getting together this week, and I can tell you now there are going to be tears, tears, tears. And everybody was weeping that last night. I'm telling you, it was a very, very emotional shoot, very emotional shoot. The table read of the final episode, and we all sat down at the table, and Randy Carter, who's our assistant director, started to introduce everybody, all the guest stars at the table, and then he introduced, which is something that he's always done and is sort of part of the structure and of the day. And then he introduced the four of us, and as soon as he started doing that, I just lost it, and I didn't stop crying the whole week, and neither did Jerry. And I mean, it was the opposite of what the show's about.
While you were spending those hours and hours weeping, did you say to yourself, maybe ending this was a big mistake?
Well, we kept making jokes about it, of course, but no, it definitely feels right. I mean, you definitely want to leave thinking, oh, I'm going to miss these. You don't want to leave thinking, God, man, I cannot wait to get off of that set. Get me the hell out of here. You know, you don't want to leave that way.
You all watching the final episode together?
Yes.
Whose house?
We're going to go to a screening room and watch it.
That way nobody has to cook.
Exactly. Domino's pizza or something. Who knows?
Well, I wish you really good luck in your post-Seinfeld career. It's been a pleasure to see you all these years on Seinfeld. Thank you for such a good series. And thank you for your time today. I really appreciate your talking with us.
Well, it was a delight. And, you know, onward and upward.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus recorded earlier this week. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.